So it's the meeting with Drew Glover, April 8th, 4:05. It's already begun. A group of six or seven people around him.
Great.
Robert.
Alicia.
And then we had a good community conversation the other night on Thursday, which turned out good.
We just started
6 months. Yeah. Hey, Robert. Everybody, this is Robert Norse, local personality and advocate for the homelessness. So, we were just touching base about the meeting at the Resource Center for Nonviolence and what came from that, the meeting at the Depot Park Freight Building and what came from that. My strategy / timeline and approach that I'm taking with my team, and then whatever y'all need from me, especially leading into tomorrow, which is the big day. So
I have court tomorrow.
Court tomorrow.
That's a big thing for me.
We got team tomorrow.
I'm picking you up in the morning, and I've already disclosed we're filing our injunction tomorrow morning. Mm. So I've already put the city attorney on notice. So it's not really secret now.
Right, there you go.
Yep.
Hi, Desi.
Hi,
what are you doing?
So we have this injunction to stop the closure.
Crystal, Alicia,
and we may or may not get it, but it is
Sunny,
also
and four other folks.
Yeah. I'm doing what I can to protect my people.
Right, there's Keith McHenry. There's also the conversation happening from the city council members that put forward the agenda item to leave the camp here. I don't know if you saw that in the agenda.
I did, but I'm worried because it doesn't explain a lot of detail about how that would work, whether or not each and every person would have indoor shelter for that time frame. It doesn't say what the camp structure would look like when they would be returning.
Right.
So I have those concerns.
Mm-hmm. So those are really good. If you would send those to me or say them again so they can write it down.
Okay, my one main concern is that it doesn't say whether or not every individual here at the camp would have an indoor shelter space, i.e. motel voucher or alternate plan, during that camp cleanup process. And it also doesn't mention any type of restructuring or what the camp would essentially look like upon re-entry. I would hate for, like I said, my family and friends here to leave and then come back and it looks like FEMA camp.
Yeah,
that's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything about what it would look like coming back. So I have all those concerns.
Totally. And how many people they would have housed. Shelter. Right?
Any changes from the way it is now to what they would want it to be. It doesn't mention anything like that.
Lower density, that's for sure.
Which would cut a bunch of people out, which would not provide them permanent shelter, which would be a violation of Martin versus Boise. We have a problem here.
Right.
Proposals.
Yep.
And so, in a perfect world, what would you like for us to do? You as a
dog. If any camp cleanup were to happen, it would happen with the people right here where they are in cooperation with them, and it would not include them leaving their places.
Yeah, because, where would we put our stuff? And where will we go? I mean, that's not cool.
And they're willing. They've already expressed a willingness. They've worked with the fire chief. We've worked with Megan Bunch. There's no reason for everybody to leave, get torn apart, potentially displaced.
You know what I mean? It's just going to bring up, a bunch of different anxiety.
We're willing to
issues.
Work with those agencies and clean it as it stands.
Anything?
A lot of it has been cleaned up.
What's that?
A lot of it has been cleaned
it's
up a lot.
It's the weather, though.
It's
a work in progress, It's a work in progress.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah, so, there's a lot of conversation around this.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's actually what Megan actually discussed with me, is having Parks and Rec come through here and do that.
Hi.
And it didn't include making everyone leave when we were discussing it previously.
No, it didn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
So that's another issue.
When was that conversation?
I have recordings. It was, a couple of meetings ago?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
She did say that.
If you could send me that recording or that clip, that would be really interesting to say that. Because if the liaison from the city is saying that they can do cleanup without moving people, that would be completely contradictory to everything that is my understanding about the process. So, hey Keith, how's it going?
Weren't you here, Robert, present at that meeting when she said she would get Parks and Rec in here
yeah,
and help?
Did.
cleanup. She did not mention ever moving anybody out of the camp to do so.
I was here at two of their meetings. You're talking about the one where there were 20
people? Yeah,
when there were 20 people, when Susie O'Hara was here too.
Right, when we talked about the cleaning. Yeah, all the times that we talked about the cleaning, that when they posted the map up here. It didn't include, and then, you know, she offered to bring in resources to help us do organization and restructuring. She never said that that would include moving everyone out for any period of time.
I think so, but again, I'd have to. It was hard getting a good recording with this kind of wind.
Since like the issue, if you are not totally inhumane, is that people can see this before tourism. I know from talking to people here that they don't like having people throw things from the highway at them. They don't like, it's not that safe to have all the exhaust, either starting and stopping the vehicles. The city was paying $75,000 a month to run the River Street shelter. I don't know, even $75,000 probably be enough to actually put a fence around here that would keep the particulates from poisoning the people here, and it would keep the tourists from seeing the people.
Why don't you guys just give me a location and $75,000 a month? I can do a much better job.
Because the location is the problem. That's the main problem. Well, let me rephrase that. The stigma against people experiencing homelessness is the problem in Santa Cruz. The location is neither here nor there, because if we had the political will within the city council, we could find a place tomorrow. But the key is that because my colleagues are representing the constituents that are housed in the neighborhood, which is totally part of their job.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You worded that pretty great.
Thank you. It's part of their job. Because of that and me being only one person, we need to take it upon ourselves to find a location and find a nonprofit that's willing to run it, which is the reason why I was disconcerted today when the city manager sent out an email update that said specifically that there were no other sites being looked at or contemplated at this time, which means that they have no plans of opening alternative camps or sleeping programs anywhere, which is really, really hard to understand how they're planning to close.
Anyways, I don't understand like why we got all the fire chief all involved in everything, and
fires that were taking place here, and because of the infectious bacteria stuff.
Why have we been doing proposals and research and data collection on encampments all this time to not consider it at all?
That's one of the big questions.
She probably just wanted to see if we were going to do anything.
So that's
any footwork whatsoever.
Hold on,
so there's a lot. I mean, you're probably pretty head bang on right there, because if they do a lot of stuff and gather information but then never move on it or don't have that will to push, then it just dies in the water and then we're back at stage one.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we're working on right now.
How can they say that this should not be a moment where we're dead in the water?
Well, the thing is that we need to find a location that has a third party that's willing to run it, that is a sanctioned nonprofit, ideally a church. So Alyssa today, this is Alyssa. Alyssa has been going through and checking all of the different church sites in Santa Cruz for ones that have viable spaces, that are big enough parking lots, that have potential for a camp structure.
Are they willing to let us work it on the five-rule requirement, though, and not make it like a church requirement? Because you know it wouldn't qualify under Martin versus Boise if they had a church requirement, like a religious requirement.
So the idea then would be to get into contact with the leadership structure of those churches, talk about having them take on the role of either managing the camp or hosting the camp with a third-party nonprofit to run it. And then ideally, I mean, if Food Not Bombs could be the fiscal sponsor, where'd Keith go? He's over there on the phone. It's okay. Food Not Bombs could be a fiscal sponsor and then run the camp with volunteers to make it happen. I mean, they're a 501c3. They focus on the advocating for people experiencing homelessness and alternative shelter structures. So that is one feasibility. Are they able to with their bandwidth is the question. And so that's where they'll probably need a lot of support from volunteerism, and things will have to be run like a super tight ship, because this is our first pilot program. So we need to make sure that it goes off perfectly without a hitch. People that are in there need to be committed to making sure that it's successful.
At some point, I'm going to need a paid job.
Well, that's the thing, is that if Food Not Bombs is hosting or is running it as a third-party nonprofit and getting funding from the city, if you're the on-site manager as the paid staff person, then you can be the representative of Food Not Bombs working in the camp.
We have all of these things covered,
hey, Greg.
Though. We need, you know, to proceed.
You
what?
We need to proceed. I feel like we have all those things covered. I mean, I guess Keith can come over here and say yeah, but
there needs to be really clear-cut standard operating procedures of how to run. And so over the next 2 weeks, while Alyssa, Henry, and I are working on identifying those locations, I need to be able to come forward with a full proposal of everything. So a sponsoring nonprofit, the structure of the camp, who's going to be in the camp, a census of people here that are ready right now to move into the camp immediately.
The, you know, the disabled as well, you know, a lot of people can't go, they know what I mean,
right,
too, like, you know, they have to be able to go to their appointments and make the food, kitchen.
Well, I can only take 50 people to a pilot encampment anyways. And
right.
So,
and that's one thing that people, and I'll come right back to you, is that that's the other question people are asking, like, well, how do we know who they are, where they are, how they're coming from? So we'll have to do some kind of a census in general, just so that we can get an accurate count of how many people, because that is one thing that people are constantly chiming on.
All the artists, you know? We ran off all the good artists, the good people, and basically we're stuck with the people that are stuck on probation, and, you know?
Well, just because someone's on probation doesn't mean they're a bad person.
I didn't say that. Right. That's not what I was saying. What I was saying is that, you know, I feel like, you know, all the good, you know, artists and musicians and stuff have actually, like, you know, left.
It's been
intense. And that's pretty sad, because this is the arts, this is a town, you know, that's known for its arts and music, and just...
Even though it constantly seems to be oppressing its artists and its musicians, which is weird, but...
They're both in.
Yeah, we'll go here and then over to Kenny, right?
Okay. Can you catch me up as to why the imperative to move this next week? Like, what's the rush? What's the legal needs? And is there a possibility to keep it here while you're getting the infrastructure to go to the next thing?
It's totally possible to keep it here, but the issue is that the public health concerns, so before the county reported that there was a big rat infestation, and because of the density and because of the intravenous drug use, there was a lot of viral and bacterial transmission going on from the density of the area. So that freaks out the people in the community that have children and all sort of kind of stuff, and then they write in tidal waves of emails to the city council because they have the time and the energy. And so because my colleagues see that, then they are pressured to move more quickly, even though that we don't have a location to have people to move to. So
I posted something on Facebook today, though, of some current photos, and I actually got a community response that the camp looks really clean right now.
Right.
So I do think that some of the community concerns have been overinflated.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that may be the case from spokespeople in the community that are trying to tear y'all down, but from the emails that I get, just the hundreds and hundreds of emails with people that don't understand what's going on here, they don't understand what we're trying to accomplish somewhere else, and they're just operating off of this really narrow vision of what is happening and what our proposals are. So that's where Joaquin comes in as part of the communications team, where we have a 5-person communication team that's going to be working with y'all to share your stories and make it so that people can realize the importance of cherishing every life here and in the community. So, Kenny and then Keith.
When the census happens, to avoid issues, if you really want to get the true numbers, you would have to let the homeless people go count the homeless people. We're not going to have you guys come out, or I'm not saying you guys, we're not going to have the census people come out like they did in the beginning. When we had this big blow up about the Poganip and everything, you know what first started that whole landslide was the census, and they burnt us real good. You know what I mean? I was here for it. I've been here for a long time, and I've seen a lot of shit. You know, they came out, they took some homeless people, we didn't even know what was going on, most people, you know, and they grabbed them and in promises to give them vouchers, and then they had stacks of phone cards, which at that time was before we had Obama phones and cell phones in the homeless community. So they gave us phone cards, and the 2 days that they took everybody from right here to Harvey West all the way out in the goddamn Poganip, they sat there and gave us phone cards to give to everybody, and they gave them to everybody. You know what? Those phone cards were never, ever turned on. Ever. Any of them. We got burnt by that. They promised us 2 days. They promised us they would not get the Rangers. Nothing like that. 2 days, the Rangers came out and they hit us. You're not going to get an exact count on the homeless unless you let the homeless go count them.
Yeah, like, you know? Maybe, I mean, there's the groups that PSA that have been coming out to do like mutual aid and food and socks and all that kind of stuff. Maybe they can come work with y'all to do it. I don't know.
We just need to get a home. Work on myself before I can do anything and before I can chime in.
That's a really responsible
and exactly, very articulate.
Can Food Not Bombs volunteer to be the nonprofit that they're looking for this homeless encampment? And
I'll
be the director, and we can start sending our operational material to Drew.
So what I was telling to her is that we have a team of people. We have a team of people that are working to connect with churches. Because I don't know how much because they don't tell me, but I don't believe that there has been as much outreach as possible to potential church locations and their congregations. So while I and the team are looking for churches that are willing to sponsor the place, I need a nonprofit to come up with a full proposal from top to bottom of what the camp's going to look like, how it's going to run, how it's going to get established, and then also a list of people ready on that day to transition over to the spot. So
that's right. I need you to give me a list of 50 people.
I believe in y'all's ability to self-regulate and self-structure with regards to getting that information and identifying the people. It's going to be a medium barrier camp, so most likely be no drug use allowed on the property. So
I already have a model for that. I sent it to you.
Influence when in there. Exactly. So just if y'all can find 20 to 40, 30 to 50 people somewhere in there that are interested in doing that, my team's going to be working on finding the location. And if Food Not Bombs is willing to be the sponsoring nonprofit, then we have all the pieces that we need to establish
agreement?
A transition.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yay!
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
So I wanted to just say something. I don't know if Dr. Leff was talked to you about the disease issue here. So the reality is that for the entire 40 years I've been working with the homeless, the most common... One of the big things, and we saw that with the hepatitis A scare, that's the diseases will leave are with the homeless and they'll enter the, it's a very good psychological warfare. And I don't know really how, it goes hand in hand with all the other psychological warfare that is going on. And the other thing is, I don't know if we have a situation, I've been noticing that the words on the Santa Cruz Together website and a lot of the letters to the editor and all those things are the same as in many other cities. For instance, right now Together Denver is fighting the same exact thing. They're trying to they're ordered that they have to allow camps to be there because of Boise, Martin Free Boise, and they are a developer corporation that is actually running anti-homeless campaign, or it's centered out of a public relations firm in Denver that is running anti-homeless campaigns all across America, of which this one they're aligned in some manner with this one. So it's not like just a local thing. That's really important, that this is a total attack against people living outside in every community in the United States, in a coordinated way with shared logistics and information and very high amount of funding from different places. So Santa Cruz.
Chief Mills has been a large part of that as he travels
and many other
areas as well.
Shared some really questionable stuff.
So I don't know if there's that. And then I don't know. And the other thing that I've been concerned about is the manipulation of the process, which I'm sure you're really aware about. And I don't know if there's a way of having Justin and Chris and Sandy be kind of more united on a front to block, for instance, if Watkins' proposal that is being put out by all these anti-homeless groups is adopted, it means everybody here is just living in somebody's doorway and stuff.
That's right.
So I don't know. It's got to be blocked.
But if you look at the agenda proposals, while there are holes in the one that Vice Mayor Cummings and Councilmember Brown put forward, their proposal is to leave the camp here. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah,
so we can assume, just based off of votes, that I know that I'm not going to vote to close the camp or move on anything even close to the recommendations of Myers, Watkins, or Matthews. And we know that we have two progressives that are going to make the statement that we need to keep the camp here, or that they put forward an agenda item. So with, you know, looking at that without me knowing where Chris Crone is going to land, I would say it's probably safe to assume that either the camp will stay here, the closing date will be changed, or something. Again, I'm just one vote, so I can't make any promises.
My concern is more like when you, because you come in with like a beautiful proposal, and then the next thing you know, you got Cynthia Matthews saying XYZ, and then over there you got the city attorney, and then 20 minutes later it's gone on to something, and by the time
at the end we get nothing,
and then your thing is blocked, and I'm just worried that Sandy and Justin's thing will be the same way. It'll be, oh well, no, we have to do Watkins first and second it and blah blah blah, and then, oh well, we, you know, then the city attorney will say a bunch of things, and the manager will say something, blah blah blah, and by the end it'll be some completely wacky thing. So that's what my concern is, that the process, they know the process really well,
and that's the concern that that one of my colleagues mentioned to me also, is that the way that they brought forward the transitional encampments to the public, like the safe sleeping program, the speed at which they did that without having any community input, and the sites that they proposed.
Way to scare everybody away from any encampment, huh?
Right,
well played.
So it plays into this, well, not in my neighborhood, oh, but I don't have any say in it. But there are so many other sites that haven't been looked at that I think, they like for example, why are they not looking at the Friendship Garden and Harvey West Park? Mm-hmm. Why not? It's okay, it's close to the swimming pools and the baseball fields, but it's far away from any preschools. There's no dense neighborhoods around it. It's over by a park. Friendship Garden was built because to pay homage to people experiencing homelessness. So what is the whole point of having that if it's not serving a purpose?
That's right.
And then what about, I mean, the other one, Coconip, there's a lot of talk there, but that was not even on the table.
I brought it up, and that's one of my three sites that I listed, and for some reason it's not. And I get the messages, we should keep Poconip available for people that pay taxes to be able to enjoy Poconip. And I'm like, I'm over here like,
Poconip, except for the homeless.
And it stays away from the bike trails.
And they never go where we want to be. We never hardly see anybody up there.
And then it's
far away from the trail.
And then the riverside, the old camp that got shut down, and then past that, there's miles of land on the along the river that's completely
empty. Yeah, but that land up there, they won't give it up for the simple fact that it floods, and that's going to be the excuse. There'll always be the excuse.
That's what they say a lot.
Always.
It's on the floodplain. It's on the floodplain. It's on the floodplain.
River Street Cats.
That's
last year was open for only 6 months.
I don't want anyone getting,
and they closed it because it was too much rent. And it wasn't that much to even live there. Now we have people, I was helping people either move from either HSC or right here with all their property. And we're going to reopen that back up again. We need help already, and this is where we were pushed at.
Right.
And now we need it enclosed. We need to close it up. This is our community.
They made it.
This is what we made.
Right there.
I was going to the first one, Farmington.
One person camped out down there, and all of a sudden something happened, which was the closure of that place.
Right.
And we had leftovers from people at the park that was at the park, or they could not get in there, or they could not deal with that place because you're only allowed in and out when they come in and out. How are we supposed to work?
That's like being in jail.
Yeah, you know.
That's the thing, yeah.
We need to, this place right here, what we need to do, we need to have our own people police us here, because we understand what's going on. We're a little bit more lenient to what's going on, instead of fucking dope fiend, you're going to jail. Come on now, you know, or yell at you because you have some issues and problems. You know what I mean? I've seen it work before. You know, I saw the whole history of that backfield back there happen. He saw it too, because he's been arguing with me the whole time through it, you know? But we've seen it happen. We know how to make it work. The thing is getting it together and having somebody who can be reliable enough.
Right.
I got to clean up my act. I'm just like everybody else here. We're all broken. If we clean up our acts a little bit more, then somebody can stand up and say something like that. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I'm doing. You know, back in the day, I don't know how far back, but Santa Cruz is known for having one of the biggest and the most managed tent city. Did anybody know that?
One of the first.
So why back in, I don't know, we had 200 tents, and they were
it was,
and they were down by the beach.
Well,
and
they opened up in 86.
It was 200 tents, and it was well managed, and it ran real smooth.
Yeah but see,
Sherry Connival, Sherry Connival's
Sherry.
And they had each individual tent had a bathroom.
Sleeping areas in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Right, yeah. That was
great.
Jane and Jane Gillette.
And it's very well managed.
Calamity Jane.
Jane Emerald.
Yep. And that's where I started the soup kitchen, or started the homeless shelter, basically from the clock tower, serving soup there after the earthquake.
And they were getting arrested.
Or before the earthquake, in 86.
Yeah, 88, yeah, because I got the call
86.
That they were getting arrested, and then I came down here.
Right, and then Paul Lee and them had gotten their hands on that acre land of property back there, and turned that into the free mill. And then, you know, Jane, I don't know what happened to her, man. But she left a big job to Karen Gillette, and Karen Gillette did a hell of a job keeping that together and making it roll. You know, they were going to shut us down because police were being called in the middle of the night because some odd shit was happening. Some wingnut was flipping out, thinking Ronald Reagan, because he didn't have a place to go, or he just didn't have meds or whatever. The cops kept getting called back there. River Street Shelter was the only place open. They had to call because people were winging out. They didn't have nobody there. There was nothing there. The staff that volunteered / worked for the free mill started hanging out. I was a volunteer for them back then. I was 17 and 18.
Mill?
Yes. First it was a free mill, you know, before it was anything else. You know, it was the free mill, and then the tent cities started coming. When we started having problems, we started, you know, our economy started fluctuating. We saw the onslaught of people. I was one of the first young kids here. You know, there was two of us that were under the age of 18 or 18. That were in the homeless scene. Luckily, I had a father and a godfather that were here that also worked in the scene that were notorious amongst the people. So when I started working for the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, we all had the respect of the people. Now, you know, wintertime, our winters were hard. They froze and it rained. You know, we had our winter programs, but once they got shut down, all these people didn't have no place to go, didn't know where to go. The Poganip was a haunted place. The only people that went out into the Poganip were the crazy people, the screamers. We call them the screamers. They go out there and scream and talk to themselves. Nobody would camp out there. I was one of the first of the five people that first camped out there, and it began after that. You know?
I'd love to continue getting more information, especially with Joaquin.
Sorry,
somebody should. Well, you are doing tape, but it's
your
beautiful.
Your background, especially in your experience and your longevity of time that you've seen Santa Cruz transition.
I was leaving.
It's priceless.
Now I'm
so
not.
Before we leave, I want you to connect with this guy, and then we can figure out a great way
to
talk.
I want to stay and help.
Robert, and then I'd love to hear from Greg. If Greg got anything you want to share, now you're good? All right, cool.
It's quite possible that, you know, the resolution that you propose, that there'll only be a cleanup and the camp will remain because there's insufficient shelter now, will be passed. In fact, it's likely, as you were saying. But the real problem and the danger is in the next provision after that, which talks about a public nuisance and the ability to move people along based upon the statement that there's a public nuisance. And the only thing they have to do is state, well, we're not going to ticket you, but we're going to move you along. Yeah.
They do that now. They push
language
it
in the document?
Well, the language in the document just simply does not provide for any offer of shelter. It provides a whole procedure for clearing a campground.
Yeah, that's a different line item.
It is. But the point it's a part of this. In other words, they'll pass your thing and they'll say, see, everything's okay because the camp's fine, it's safe. Oh, whoops, you got to move out for 3 to 5 days with no place to go. And if you don't, well, we won't ticket you. We'll just come in with, you know, heavy armament and say, move along.
You know, there will be a violation of Martin versus Boise.
So my question is, you know, I would like to see you with only one vote, but still one voice, speak up about this and saying, unless there's a provision in here that says there's alternate shelter, even during the cleanup phase, the cleanup has to be left with the people in place. Here to determine it themselves.
They're saying that there is enough shelters right now. All these, you know, new Salvation Army's opening up, all this stuff.
They're talking about motel vouchers.
Yeah, even then.
What? The hotels are going to be
for 200 people? I mean,
we already get motel vouchers and we get burnt for them. Now check this out.
Yeah.
We get motel vouchers.
We get treated like crap because the owners of the hotels hate us.
Yeah, they kick us out for having my knees were blown out. I'm not supposed to have visitors or anything by the rules of whoever wrote the fucking thing. I let them know I have one lady that's going to come here. She changes my bandages and she feeds me food. When they did that, the next morning I was kicked out. I lost a voucher for fucking 3 months.
That's not cool.
It's not only happened to me, but it's happened to other people
it
also.
It happens to virtually everyone I ever hear gets a voucher.
I'm in remission from my cancer. Stress causes cancer to come back. I'm not going to let that happen.
So I think it's important, Drew, that you say something at the council. And the reason for it is that because there's a lawsuit being proposed, even if the TRO is not granted, if it's brought up at council and you say, Susie or Tina, whoever you ask, is there shelter for 200 people during this cleanup? Will that be guaranteed? I'd like to move that be part of this. And nobody, you don't get a second, or you get a second and it gets voted down. That's still evidence in court that they're going to go after people without any shelter. And therefore, people can still make a stand here much more easily and say, we're happy to clean it up ourselves, but we're not going to be moved along by police to an unknown location, period. So that's just my suggestion to you, if you'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good suggestion, even just so it's on the record, so the voice saying it. So thank you for that.
Sure. I would let the as many city council members, I guess, as the Brown Act.
If you want to send me anything specifically in an email, I'll still remember it, but still.
I'll try and do that. Ross Camp don't intend they refuse to leave and are willing to accept the consequence, I guess, because that's a violation of Martin versus Boise. I'll be here too.
On direct action.
For 21 of those 32 years, and the same thing that keeps happening year after year after year in the homeless problem is us disabled people, we're not even being addressed, we're not even heard, we're not seen, we're like being thrown in the stockade with just all normal people. And you know, for example, the River Street shelter north of the Poly Loft is really designed for handicapped people. You know, I can't go out to the Pogo Nip. I'm usually crawling with a walker. You know, I can't go hiking in the woods. You know, my mobility is very limited, and where I can go geographically is very limited. And I haven't been doing very well here at Tent City for certain reasons. And it's just getting tougher and tougher. And, you know, I can't take care of myself very well. And those problems of us handicapped people, physical and or mental, aren't even being really addressed. And it really hurts. And I'd like to see that happen.
I really appreciate you letting me know. Thank you. My name's Drew.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's
Andrea.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that the next camp, wherever we, and the next location, wherever we find it, we have to make sure not only is it something that's respectful and have a sense of privacy, but also that takes into consideration the needs of people with different levels of ability. I'm sorry that you've been struggling.
Yeah.
But I'll do whatever I can to try to make it as short as possible with regards to the length that we're having to deal with this rather unfair situation.
Maybe our proposal, if it does end up in the Poganip, could include funding for transportation. I mean, they were willing to provide that for River Street, so.
Right, yeah, and you know, the Poganip has that gate that could technically be open for a shuttle to run back and forth up and down the front, so.
So in our proposal, we'll keep in mind a fund for transportation and staff.
Yeah,
with that in
knows
mind,
how much money is put aside for emergency?
And I got a valid driver's license.
Santa Cruz had $100,000 that they pulled out of it. I don't know if they've decided they spent some of it on what they were doing.
Here, what are we allowed to?
Well, that's the question. I'm going to get more clarity at the meeting tomorrow, because when I spoke to the city manager, he said that there was $1 million pulled out for emergency shelter services in Santa Cruz.
Because it would help with the
surge has different numbers.
There was $1 million, but it was split up. So the $1 million for children. March through the end of June, like before most of the 10 million, they turned that to 9 and go 1 million. And they did 20 when that starts. And
so
also,
got 600.
600 is all of the services for that time. There's 600,000 for services. There was 100,000 that was supposed to be a media campaign, but nobody applied for that money yet. And there was 300,000 that was going to be 100,000 city, 100,000 county, 100,000 Watsonville for whatever kind of services they were going to be providing. And they weren't really clear whether that's bathrooms. But the 600,000 stuff was like 1220 River, the AFC's parking thing, AFC having more rotating shelter like another thing. So that's what the 600 was, those kind
of
services.
A media campaign?
A media campaign. Like getting in touch with communities
so
and having more of that, because
there's 100,000 right there.
In Santa Cruz at all.
That we could get. There's 100,000.
There's 100,000 that the city kept from that section, but they didn't say there's been no update on how it's been used or what they're saving it for.
So that still doesn't answer the question of what's left for this transitional encampment proposal.
We can operate right now under the hopeful assumption that there's 100,000 at the most that it's been set aside specifically for this, but I'm going to get a specific breakdown tomorrow at the meeting.
Can you send it to me as soon as you know so that we can establish our proposal based on a budget?
Yeah, well, you'll know the same time I do tomorrow at round four, whenever they have it, I can ask the question. But as soon as we get that info, then absolutely, and kind of go from there.
And I'd say make your budget what you need to do a good program.
Right.
If they don't give enough money and then you only offer a medium, like a cruddy program, then the neighborhoods are going to go after you for offering a cruddy program.
So ask for more than we need is what you're saying, perhaps?
Ask for what is a good, robust program.
Okay.
Design what a robust, if it's case management in there, then talk about how much and how they're going to be trained and like make it a respectable program. Decide your outcomes, decide what you need to get those outcomes.
I'm going to try to get as many of those services on a volunteer basis as possible, but I do want a robust program.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what your time frame or schedule is, but just because of your understanding of the HAP program and your experience, if you were interested in working with Alicia in creating that proposal with Food Not Bombs, that would speed the process a lot so we don't have to go through so many revisions of phases.
Yeah.
But that would be super helpful.
Yeah, and I was going to invite you to the HAP. I was going to tell you about that, too. If you want your voice at more of a county and more of an agency as opposed to just a city level.
When is the next meeting for that?
A week from Wednesday.
I'll be there.
Hey, Russ.
Just keep me updated so I don't forget because I get super busy, yeah.
How's it going there, RGAC?
I can't get help. I mean, I've been trying to, but I'm outside because they've had this, like, a lot of us had, I have my own money, but they've stolen driver's license. And I don't know why HUD decided to print out these HUD vouchers, but they were copying those, and they'd white out the name, or they'd use my name with my driver's license. So I've had my own apartment for years. No, this is why I'm outside. But I don't really get that help. I mean, they sure like to arrest him.
Right.
They love to catch the thief, right? But me as, you know, and I know a lot of us have. So that'd be kind of cool if we got some help. Because
well,
that's why I'm on, you know, I'm on full physical disability.
If you'd like to share your story and...
I've talked to my story. I even Skyped the White House. You ever Skype the White House? Trump's cool. But locally, yeah, I'm sick of the stories. but I don't know. It's just like a lot of lip service, but no real help.
Yeah, well, that's
and a lot of us are really easy to help, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to take the model where we ask y'all what you need instead of us telling you what y'all need, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't need a roommate. I have my own. I actually make enough, you know? But for some reason, I don't know, there's just a lot of lip service, but it just kind of stays the same, kind of. Or
wonderful.
A different headache, you know? A different day, a different headache. I don't know.
Who's next on stack?
I think there's solutions are really easy.
Is there anything else? Otherwise, I'm probably just going to walk down to the end and back in. Unless there's other burning questions that people want to bring up or things that we can help with.
We appreciate you coming out.
Yeah.
I'll walk with you. I'd like to walk with you.
A lot of people just can't. They get out of their beds. They don't want to leave their stuff or whatever.
Right, exactly.
To come to them.
What's that?
Where's that shopping bag you had? Is there a drink in there?
I came through the camp. Drew is to interns and several other folks. So what's your name?
So I have a question.
And you are
Joaquin.
You're both interns?
Yes.
Have you got an email?
Yeah.
To view and acknowledge that there are not three chop shops in this camp, if you could, for me.
I think a lot of people just go with their immediate stigmas and see stuff like that and assume chop shop, which is a bunch of reclaimed parts from different places.
But doesn't it look like a chop shop to you, right?
I don't know what a chop shop looks like.
When I was living inside and I got my housing, I opened... You know me with my bikes. I love bikes.
So
I had so many bikes in my house, but I was fixing them up. They were getting donated to me by bike church and other people, and I'll get the parts and build bikes for the kids for my my neighborhood kids. And I was donating these bikes to the neighborhood kids, and they still thought that I was a chop shop. And that's not.
The enemy and the other side, wherever they draw the line. The enemy is the ruling class who draw the bloody line. Come for me, 1, 2, 3, 4, no for me, not anymore. The enemy and the other side, wherever they draw the line. The enemy is the ruling class who draw the bloody line. Come for me, 1, 2, 3, 4, no for me, not anymore.